Penguin Random House Audio presents Play For Me by Libby Hubsher. Read for you by Lauren Fortgang. To anyone who is having the worst day of their life, here's hoping it leads you to something better than you could have ever imagined, or at least a very fun roommate situation. And to Kate, the best friend and high school roommate a person could ask for. Other than my dad, I love three things more than life itself: baseball, the fine city of Boston, and cannoli from Vitali's, not necessarily in that order. Anybody who tries to take them away from me will have to pry them out of my cold, dead hands. Sophie Doyle, head trainer of the Boston Red Sox and first woman trainer in the MLB. Dein Schicksal ist die Musik, die du in deinem Herzen hörst. Sie haben keine andere Wahl, als mitzuspielen. Und wenn es aufhört, es ist vorbei. Your destiny is the music you hear in your heart. You have no choice but to play along. And when it stops, it's over. Jonas Voss, pianist, Berliner Philharmoniker. Chapter 1. I lost everything I loved in the span of 24 hours. Well, nearly everything, since Dad was still safely tucked away in Somerset Meadows, but that's a different story. Heartbreak comes in all forms. For me, baseball went first. My home in Boston and cannoli from Vitali's in the North End quickly followed. I was eating my feelings in the form of a chocolate chip cannoli when a man holding a sheet cake paused to look me over, and upon recognizing me, he promptly spit in my face. He was wearing an autographed Big Poppy jersey, and an expression that can only be described as murderous. They say hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Well, a woman scorned has nothing on a Red Sox fan who just stumbled upon the trainer responsible for ruining the team's World Series run, stuffing her face with pastry. "That's for benching Iwasaki," he hollered. "You cost us the series." The rabid fan couldn't have known that only 2 hours earlier I'd been forced to resign in front of a room full of middle-aged men in ill-fitting polo shirts. He wouldn't have seen me sitting on the tee next to a cardboard box full of my things, willing myself not to cry. And he definitely had no earthly notion that I'd arrived home to find the rest of my worldly possessions packed away in a matching luggage set my boyfriend, Patrick, had originally bought for me to use on our trip to Zurich in January. As the team doctor, he hadn't taken kindly to me calling his medical judgment into question. He'd carved me out of our shared brownstone and his life with speed and surgical precision. I didn't fault any of them for being angry, even this guy. I was a Red Sox fan, after all, one who grew up watching every home game while my dad worked as a custodian in Fenway. The agony of defeat had rocked me to my core more than once, but I wasn't at my best. And my cheek was damp with spittle, which is probably why I exploded out of my chair, knocked the cake box out of the man's hand, and smashed my half-eaten cannoli into his face. "I'd do it again," I yelled. Cake splattered on the floor around us. It was completely out of character. The aggression, I mean, not the thing that had brought me to that moment. Still, I meant what I said. At only 22, Iwasaki was already the kind of pitcher that comes along once every 100 years. He'd had an ulnar collateral ligament sprain that the medical team had been treating with stem cells and plasma injections, but his body wasn't ready. I could see it in his face, the way he grimaced and guarded his arm when no one else was looking. Just hours before the game, he'd been drenched with sweat after throwing a couple of easy pitches. "How bad is it?" I'd asked him. He'd shaken his head. "Not bad," he'd said, "just nerves." As if the league's best pitcher had ever been that nervous a day in his life. I gave him a look. "I'm good," he lied. What ensued was a series of fights with what felt like everyone in the organization, from Patrick to the GM. But in the end, Iwasaki went back on the injured list, and I went on a list too. One that started with black and ended with bald. "It'll be fine," I'd assured everyone. "Marano is 100% and he's looking great." The backup pitcher, Murano, was solid. The pitching coach agreed and everyone conceded. No problem, I thought. I am an optimist. Murano choked. Epically. The Phillies hadn't just beaten us. They'd humiliated us in Fenway Park. The man who'd been on the receiving end of my cannoli was screaming, a strangled animal sound, espresso cups stilled. Around us, the bakery patrons fell silent. There were no shouting spectators here egging us on. A woman with a small child cowered, shielding the toddler with her body. The worker behind the counter who had winked at me when he'd handed over my food now picked up a phone to make a call. I retreated, accidentally placing my shoe directly in the middle of a chunk of cake. I slipped on the mass of buttercream and nearly fell. Frantically, my arms windmilled and I grabbed for anything to keep myself upright. I caught the man's shirt. A button popped off and thwacked against my forehead. I looked up. The man's screaming ceased. He reached up and wiped the cream from his face. A glop of frosting landed in my hair, pale white against my deep red waves. I had a sudden sickening realization that there was no team behind me, ready to get in the mix, and there never would be again. I was on my own, and my life in baseball, and at my favorite bakery, was over. There's no bullpen in the North End, no dugout to cool off in, and since, as I learned later, the delectable flaky pastry scratched the man's cornea, I spent the better part of the afternoon in a holding cell in the Boston District A1 police station. I was braiding my hair and trying to figure out how I was going to tell my dad about my fall from grace when my best friend Astrid appeared, looking like a cross between a blonde bombshell with a foul mouth and a glorious angel. She was wearing oversized black sunglasses, ripped high-waisted jeans, and a tube top with puffed sleeves that revealed her pale midriff. She might have been the only person over the age of 30 who could pull a look like that off. Astrid was warm and disarming, and at the sight of her, relief pooled in me, and that feeling of utter loneliness dissipated. She tossed her blonde waves over her shoulder and removed her sunglasses. Sophie, in all of our years of friendship, I never once envisioned having to bail you out of jail, she said, tucking the glasses into her purse. I feel like we've reached a whole new level of closeness. Thank you for coming, I smiled. I couldn't help it. A cop unlocked the door and gestured for me to get out with a quick jerk of her head. It better be a good story, Astrid said, folding me in her long arms. Was it a pervert? I love it when a perv gets what's coming to him. I grimaced. I was defending my honor, sort of. I eyed the room. From the glares I was getting, the police were also Red Sox fans. It was Dunkin' Donuts with a side of dirty looks in there. I didn't mean to hurt him. Let's get you out of here, Astrid said. I know everyone loves Iwasaki, but geez, she raised her voice. It's just a game. Astrid, shh, don't antagonize them. She slung one arm around my shoulders, and together we speedwalked toward the exit. So, where to? Astrid asked, once we were outside beneath the old blue station sign, standing in the shadow of the brick behemoth. Home? About that. Patrick's pretty mad. I glanced up at the brick building. The architect must have had a mandate to put in as few windows as possible. Astrid's eyes narrowed. How mad. I can't be with someone who would question me at work. It's over, mad. At least that's what he wrote in his note. Wait, you haven't talked to him? He left a note. It was taped to my suitcase. You've been together for what, 4 years? I know you said things had kind of cooled off a bit, but that's beyond cold. Okay, well, I never liked him anyway. His nurse was an extra with me on Shadow World back in March, and she said he's a dick to all the office staff. You're just telling me this now? Yeah. Game night's been wicked awkward. Astrid was trying to cheer me up, so I obliged her, but the laugh I managed...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?